All right, hey folks, and welcome back to the 747 Conversations podcast. Your host, Chris Shembra, broadcasting live from beautiful New York City. Honored to have a wonderful human on the phone, Dick Hyatt, the founder and CEO of a fast growing company, Decisive. They are the global leaders in providing technology and data to the SRM ecosystem, optimizing asset performance. It's an honor to have you on the podcast, sir.
Well, Chris, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, and it's an honor to have the opportunity to chat with you.
Now, you know, going back across 25 years experience building, managing, growing tech companies, big companies, the wonderful culture you've built, the team of experts you have around you, the simple single question I have to start us off is, if you could give credit or thanks to one person in your life that you don't give enough credit or thanks to, or just have never thought to give any credit or thanks to, whether it's someone you've never met before or someone you've known your entire life, who would that be?
Well, Chris, it's a really interesting question, and you know, the mind takes you to a lot of different places, books and movies and various different experiences throughout my life. But I tell you, when I sat and thought for a bit, and this may be a little strange, but it's my kids. I have two sons. They are currently 27 and 24. And certainly during those periods of time, they've significantly shaped my way of thinking. And hopefully for the best. And I, to your point, have never sat down and really given credit for it. So hopefully this will give me the opportunity to do that.
Now, your kids, were they, did you plan on having them for a while? Did you wait for a while after you got married? Did you have them kind of right when you got married? Are you married? Sorry.
Yes, I am married, been married to the same woman for 30 years. So if you do the math, everything works out just fine. Certainly was planned to look forward to having children. And so all of that's gone kind of according to, so in a macro level, gone according to plan. At a micro level, for all of the people who listen to this who have kids, you certainly understand that you cannot predict which direction it will take you or how it will evolve or unfold. And that's part of the looking backs, part of the real enjoyment of that experience. And so that's why, you know, in reflecting on that, you know, there's things that they've taught me that I very much use every day and cherish.
What are the ways in which your kids teach you the most?
Well, so I certainly giving this some thought, there's a couple of things. I will tell you what they are, and then I'm happy to go into and explain a little bit more about how this has really affected me, and to some extent, or to a great extent, how it's affected my view of building a business, and in particular, building Decisive. So, you know, the three things that I would attribute to that experience is really around patience, and it's an easy thing to say, but I'm happy to explain a little more. Learning, so they have given me great insights into the learning process more than anything else. And the last thing I would say is, you know, they qualify as millennials, or pretty darn close to it. Because of their ages and the environment they grew up in, they have a completely different perspective than all of us who have come before. Because of the environment they grew up in, and that has really taught me a lot as well, and is certainly reflecting a lot of things we do day to day at Decisive. So all three are things that I learned from them, and things that really have helped me guide Decisive and my, you know, general way of looking at things for some time.
And so let's start off with, you know, with the patients. You know, how are you as a leader, or how are you as a husband or a man, you know, before you had kids, when it dealt with, you know, patients, and how did you learn the elements of patience from these kids over time?
Yeah, so I'm fundamentally an impatient person, and I think everybody you talk to, you know, most entrepreneurs are pretty impatient, because they want results quickly. So they're, you know, typical entrepreneur has a vision and sees out into the future. You know, one of the things that I learned from them is that, you know, you can't change behavior overnight. You can't, you know, sit with your child who's 5 or 6 years old and just explain to them that their behavior is unacceptable and tomorrow their behavior is going to be different. It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, the reality is it doesn't work that way in anything you do. You can't make organizational change happen because you want it to be or want to will it to be. You can't change an industry. Most entrepreneurs have some, you know, view of transforming an industry or a way of doing business. And that takes time. And one of the things that I've learned from them that's very much reflected and decisive is that we fundamentally and forever have changed an industry relative to asset performance. But the constituents in that marketplace, we couldn't take there overnight. Even if we knew what was going to happen, we could predict the future. We had to be very patient in the way that we unfolded that and worked collaboratively with them to really find the right path to get there.
And the speed of which you got there, you know, how did you keep up to market demand while ensuring the quality, while taking the time to ensure the quality of the product you were delivering?
So, as I said, we fundamentally changed the way an industry works. And, you know, there's a lot of talk these days about disruptors. I'm not a fan of the word because I think disruption, you know, both definitionally and has kind of negative connotations. We're a transformer. We have transformed an industry. And so the way it's worked in our business, and to ensure the quality of it, and more than the quality, it's behavioral change. So quality comes through changing behavior in a prescriptive way. And so, for example, you know, we work with a lot of people that are frontline in terms of maintaining vehicles and owning vehicles and using those for commercial purposes. There's a lot of talk in our business about predictive analytics, and we're going to change everything through AI and BI and all this other stuff and big data. Well, you know, you got to get the process changed fundamentally underfoot, change the way people do business, and that improves the quality incrementally as opposed to trying to transform it or change it overnight. So we're very much an incrementalist relative to the industry we're in because, you know, we're dealing with people that have been in the same job for 30 years. You can't change behavior overnight. You can't change the way they do things overnight. So we've had to be patient, back to the point, in terms of changing the way they the process works, change the way they interact with technology, and most important, the way they value data, all of which, if you change those things, lead you to dramatic change in the future.
It's beautiful the way you say that, transformation, not disruption, being an incrementalist. You know, when you look back to the relationship with your kids, you must be, right, you're a man with such great wisdom, you must be, you know, chomping on the bit for them to learn what you know, right, about life, what you've experienced. And you can't really rush that process with kids. They have to take their own time learning, you know, what you learned over time. So the question I have for you is, you know, what have you learned from them?
Yes.
You know, what have they taught you?
So that's a great question, and there's really the two other things I mentioned. So you know, I apologize to them through this in advance, but you know, I must admit that I assumed that the way I did things, as simple as you know, putting food on the not figuratively putting food on the table, but literally putting food on the table, or simple things. I always assumed that you know, I had a lot of experience, therefore the way I did those things was the right way. Cutting grass, taking the garbage out, I mean, silly things. But what I learned incrementally from them was, if I was open to the way they were thinking about things and the way they did them, I might learn something new. And that was really an important lesson for me, because it's not just about that relationship with them and what I learned from them, but it's that process and how I apply it every day. So the people around us, we have 150 plus people in the company. Everybody's got a different perspective, a different experiential base, and being open to the way they think about things has led us to, you know, led me to different ways of doing things, different ways of thinking about it, changing directions, or changing even small things that have a big impact on the company. So that openness to learn from people really started with learning how to do that with my children.
Is there anything they've randomly said in passing, a quote or a saying or a phrase or a suggestion or a question you then directly brought back into your company?
Well, some of those things I can't repeat here, but sometimes they're not so gentle in the way they let me know that I'm doing something pretty stupid, but maybe they will over time. But you know, one of the things, I mean, I mentioned this also at the outset, which is really that third thing in terms, and this is really learning from them, is they're millennials. So, you know, if you think about the environment they've grown up in, and that they take nothing for granted. So they kind of learn as they're going. So, in the last 20 years, and you know, it's really in the last probably 15, 17 years, for them, everything's different. The speed, the access to information, use of mobile products, use of cloud computing, you know, artificial intelligence. They've grown up in that, so it's so natural for them. And for, you know, I'm a little bit older than they are, considerably, and a lot of the people here are. I think that's a really important learning, that even though we are older and we're in an industry that hasn't changed a whole lot in the past 50 years, although it's undergoing significant change now, the way they think and the environment they grew up in is fundamental to our industry. Things like ride sharing, you know, we're in the commercial vehicle space. We deal with automobile manufacturers and truck manufacturers. That's a fundamental change in the way things work. Access to volumes of data. There's a lot of talk about, you know, artificial intelligence, predictive maintenance in our business. It's so natural to them. And so I think that's been a really important thing. Urbanization, a lot of our thought process relative to how we build our ecosystem in the commercial vehicle maintenance and repair business is really based on the way we've seen urbanization of different environments. Neither of my kids own a car. One lives in Chicago, one lives in New York. They live in very urban areas. And that's kind of given us an analogy to the way we've grown the business. You know, so we're building an ecosystem, and our view of building that ecosystem that's fundamentally different and transformative is that it's like an urban center. You have to have anchor tenants. You have to have cool places to go. And if you do all those things, people will buy your product being an apartment or something like that. So when we look at our business, we learn a lot and use those analogies that are so natural to the millennials.
And if, you know, if we're talking to your kids and, you know, in the same way that you just learned and adapted and, you know, reinvented ways that you do things, learning from them, what do you think, you know, you're most proud of that they learned from you in your fathering style or leadership style over time?
Yeah, so it's funny. It's a great question. I think there's a couple of things that are really, I think, fundamental and important, and I'm very proud of my kids, so I think they embody these. One is to treat everybody well, or treat, no matter where the person is you're interacting with or people you come across, to have respect for them and to demonstrate that respect. You said you grew up in the South, you know what that means, and to treat them fairly. And the second thing I think that's really important is intellectual curiosity. So I am a huge fan of intellectual curiosity, and I sometimes don't see it enough in people. And you know, if you were to talk to my kids or interview them, they would ask you as many questions as you ask them. And it's not because they've been taught just to ask questions, it's because they're curious. If you start a topic, you know, they'll think of three things that are adjacent to that to ask you. And to me, that will benefit them throughout those two things will benefit them throughout their entire life. It's something that benefits me. I hope that I embody those things. And the people we interview and bring into this company, that's really what we look for, that they treat people with respect and they're intellectually curious.
I like that a lot. I like that a heck of a lot. What do you think prevents people from being curious in today's information and knowledge economy?
Yeah, so really interesting question. I think there's kind of categories of people. There's certainly those who believe that they're the source of all knowledge, and therefore why would they believe that the person they're sitting across from or the things that they encounter have anything more to teach them? That's probably a category. Hopefully we don't have those people in this company, because I don't think that's the way the world works. I think it's the environment that people grow up in. I don't know how you could not be intellectually curious. It's one of those things that is a really hard question to answer, because I just don't know how anybody could not be, given the environment that we live in. It's rapidly changing. Everything around us is changing. There's so much to be curious about and try to figure out. So that's just kind of innate in the way that I think of things. It's just fundamental. And obviously, we're having this conversation. You're intellectually curious, and want to learn from people you talk to, and hopefully the people that listen to your podcast. Obviously, they wouldn't be listening to your podcast if they weren't open to that. I've listened to some phenomenal podcasts, and that's one of the other things my kids taught me that I learned from them, is that they share with me what they listen to. And man, in my wildest dreams, I wouldn't have gone and found those things. But every time I listen to a podcast they share with me, it's amazing. They just open up my eyes every time I listen to something. So hope that answers the question.
Totally answers it. And the final question I have, in closing is, if you were on the phone with the two of them right now instead of me in New York City, what would you say to them, and what wish would you have for them for their future?
Yeah, so those two things I just mentioned, if they never leave those behind. And I think that no matter what they do, No matter whom they meet, if they carry those two concepts forward, or there's those two components of their behavioral system, I think that that will serve them well. And you know, this is another one of these fundamental beliefs that I can't predict the future. I can't predict what's going to happen to them, what they're going to be exposed to. I cannot predict what's going to happen to our economy, or our country, or the world in the next 5 years. It's really hard to predict these days. But if they are genuinely open to other people, kind and respectful, and they're intellectually curious, then it will take care of itself.
And what are their two names?
Josh and Christopher.
Josh and Christopher. Oh, a name after my own heart.
Exactly. He goes by Chris.
I love that. Well, Vic, thank you for your words about Josh and Christopher today. I do hope they take to heart what you said today, and I hope all the rest of our listeners do, you know, as well. I think you've kind of outlined a couple key things to living a good life: treating everybody well, being intellectually curious, having a patience and a life learning mindset, transformation, not disruption. If you follow those things, folks, and take it from Dick, not from me, take it from the CEO of a company who's raised over $43 million in funding. If you follow that principle, you will live a good life, a long, happy, successful life with a big impact on this world. And you heard it from him, not me. So, Dick, thank you very much for coming on with us. Any words in closing?
Chris, I just really appreciate it. Appreciate you taking the time, and I appreciate what you're doing. I think that's a really great concept, I look forward to going back and listening to the 150 prior podcasts.
You got a lot of work cut out for you if you want to do that one. But, folks, thank you for tuning in today. Please check out everything that Decisive is up to in this world. They've really transformed an industry. I hope y'all are having a phenomenal day on Earth. Remember, folks, it's your world. Go explore, and we'll see you next episode.